Come on, we can do a little better than that. Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Great to see you in the house. Why don't you stand? Let's read the word of the Lord, Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Let's start there, see how this goes. I want you to read it with me. Everybody, read out loud. Everybody, here we go. One, two, three, here we go. If your you have, I want you to watch three observations of this one verse. First of all, the purpose of going to your brother is to win your brother over. You have won your brother over. The purpose of going is not to prove that you're right and they're wrong. The purpose of going is not to make sure they know that they got an issue. The purpose is community has been broken, and you want to win back the oneness that God desires for the church. Number two, notice that it assumes that you have a relationship. You're not going to somebody that you don't have a relationship with. You're going to somebody that you have a relationship with, and because it's your brother, if your brother sins, then you need to go reconcile with them. Then number three, please note, you ought to go show him his fault. Where, everybody? All right, that doesn't mean on Instagram, that doesn't mean on Facebook, but in private. Let's go, number two, verse number 16. Here's what it says. It says, but if he take one, so that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, this is huge. Why are you taking somebody not to prove that you're right and they're wrong? The reason you're taking somebody else is so that the people you're taking can hear their side of the story to make sure that every fact may be confirmed. So you're doing it to listen, to make sure that there is an issue, and if there is, then that issue needs to be addressed. You're not ganging up on somebody to tell them they're wrong. You want to hear their side of the story. Next verse, verse number 17. Here's what it says. It says, read it with me, if he tell it to the, stop right there, don't read them more. For many of you, you can't even fathom that fully because the whole idea of structure and authority has been removed from your vocabulary. The culture has masterfully gotten rid of or tried to get rid of the Bible and now get rid of any kind of formal structure or authority because it knows it wants you to do you. So you say, I'm going to do me. There is nothing more ungodly than I'm going to do me. But this generation loves I'm going to do me. Here's what that means. In Judges, they said it this way. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. That's what that means. But the Bible says, no. There's a process that you got to go through, and you got to go through the church. I tell you this all the time. You go to the church to get married, but when you want to get a divorce, you go to the courthouse. The courthouse should reject you and say, well, you got married. The church, go back to them and see if they'll give you a divorce. That's what should happen. And then some of you be like, that's why I didn't go to the church to get married. I went to the courthouse. Read it with me. And if he to listen, even to the church. What does that mean? That means, since he is or she is willful, intentional, deliberately sinning against God. Listen, everybody listen. It means they are spiritually dead. So you ought to treat them like an unbeliever. Because that's what they are. If you say you house the Spirit of the living God, somebody, a group of people are bringing something up to you, and you say, I don't care what y'all say, I can't stand that person, I ain't fooling with them, I hate their guts, then that means there is no Holy Ghost inside of you. How do you know if there's a Holy Ghost? By your fruit. If there is no fruit, that means you are spiritually dead, which means we should have nothing to do with you now. Because you want to be in the body, and the people with the mercy gift, I'm saying, let's just let him give him another chance. No, the Bible says, Jesus' prayer, don't miss this, Jesus says, I pray that they're one. When you act like that, we're no longer one. which means now you're not answering Jesus' prayer, which means now you're living in the flesh, which is why we got to get rid of you and treat you like a non-believer. What does that mean? You pray for non-believers and you ask that God change their heart so that they will accept him. Same principle. Watch the text. Next verse, last verse. This is all you can take. One more verse. Read this one. One of the most misunderstood passages in all of Scripture. Read it. Truly, I say to you, and whatever you shall have been. I heard somebody say one time, I have a lot of warrants out for my arrest, but God loosed me, so therefore they couldn't catch me. What's wrong with you? Go to jail. That's where you belong. Trying to use the Bible to justify foolishness. Talking about God loosed me, so the popo can't catch me. That's not what this verse is saying. Let me help you out. The verse is saying, the reason you can bind something on earth is because the word of God has already told you it should be bound. So all you're doing is living out what the word has already said. When it comes to loosing, the reason you can loose it is because the word of God has already said and declared it to be loosed. So you are just walking in faithfulness and in obedience in releasing what God has already released. That's what the word of God says. Y'all need to read the word of God and not listen and not just hit, take, and do what other people say. Sit down. We're done. That was a good parsing. I almost said something. But I didn't. Praise the Lord, somebody. Praise the Lord for growth. Praise the Lord. If you're just joining us, we're in a series. Last week, here's what we said. Last week we suggested you have humility, and humility influences harmony, and harmony influences happiness or joy. So if you're never not happy, if you're never not joyful, it is because at the bottom of your foundation, there is no humility. But if you want to change to become happy and content and joyful, then you got to start with humility, because humility then allows you to live in harmony with a couple of people. You get to live in harmony mentally, you get to live in harmony emotionally, you get to live in harmony spiritually, and you get to be in harmony directionally. The reason why maritally things are not going well is because you're not humble. Therefore, no humility, no harmony. Therefore, no harmony, no happiness. That's what we talked about last, all coverage last week. What we've been saying in this whole series is there are three phases to a healthy conflict. The phase before you get in the ring, the phase once you get in the ring, and then the phase to go the distance in the ring. Today, I want to talk about how to deal with unreasonable people when you get in the ring. Look at your spouse and say, that's you. I'm joking. How do you deal with unreasonable people once you get in the ring? Somebody be like, no, you're not joking. That's what we're dealing with today. We said so far in the series, before you get in the ring, you got to have your prayer closet. And the reason you go to your prayer closet is for two reasons: to get rid of pride and to make sure you adorn yourself with humility. The reason you go in that ring, the reason before you get in there, what you're praying for in your closet is, God, whatever is selfish in me, whatever is vain conceit, I need you to get rid of it so that when I get in the ring, I am humble and I am putting the other person above myself. That's, if you don't do that, you're not ready to go in the ring. If you go in the ring before that, you are wrong, you're in sin, and you are the one in need of prayer. Let me say it again. The reason why in Christendom everybody can work out any differences you have is because if both people are coming in there with no selfish ambition and no vain conceit, but you are putting on humility, then both of us can go in there and say, I care about you, and I want to hear your side of the story, and the other person is saying the same thing about you. The reason we got problems is because everybody walking there in pride. So let's talk about selfishness and vain conceit. Listen to me, please. The Bible says, do nothing. There is no wiggle room about this. You cannot in any relationship, this is so good. You cannot in any relationship say, I'm always right. Some of you love that right now. Some of you, I'm always right. In every situation, I'm always right. If you think you're always right, put your hand up. Stop, put your hand up. If you think the person beside you is always right, put your hand up. Don't put your hand up. Because there's some of you that are so convinced that your ducks are always in a row, that you're always right. Here's what the Bible says. If you think that way, you're in sin. That's called vain conceit. Some of you debating me right now. No, it's not. I am right. No, and I'm saying, no, what you're right in is that you're in sin. Because the moment you put yourself as being the one that's always right, you have now simultaneously said the other person is always wrong. Which means you don't care about them, you only care about you. The Bible says there is no wiggle room in the Bible for that kind of an attitude. None. Number two, he says, you cannot be selfish. You can't always be thinking about you. You cannot. The Bible says there's no wiggle room for you to think about you. Let me explain the problem with churches. Here's the problem with churches. You love Jesus, you just don't want to be like him. You love him and you love coming to church. Oh yeah, Jesus, all that. But you don't want to live like he lives. Because if you do, you'd have to get rid of most of you. Which is why he says you died so that he can live his life through you. But you still want to pick up your life every single day. I thought about, I'm living through my life. I only need Jesus on Sunday. He said, you got to die. Number two, he says, humility. What's humility? Humility is not thinking about yourself and thinking about the other person. You don't get to make you front and center. Your job is to race to the back of the line and put everybody in front of you. I told you, you like Jesus, you don't want to live like him. Because Jesus says, here's what I did. I came, became one of you so I could save you. He ran to the back of the line so you could be in front, so you could get a connection to the Father. He says, if you want to be like me, then do that in conflict. Don't run to the front of the line, listen to me. Run to the back of the line, you first before me. Why is it that churches struggle with that so much? That's all review, by the way. Last thing review. Then he says, you got to take the log out of your own eye. This is all before you get in the ring. Take the log out of your own eye. What's the log? Either a sin that you have that you can't see because you're so focused on the speck, or a desire that you have that's become a demand, and so because it's become a demand, it's now the source of all your conflicts. That is all review. Go listen to the messages, and you can pick that up. Let's go to new material now. Before we can get to Matthew 18, the problem with Matthew 18, it's in a context that's foreign to us. It's foreign to us because in the Bible, God cares about order. Order matters to God. No order, then the blessing can't flow because the blessings follow an order. It's the reason why honoring your authority is so important. It's the reason why wherever God sees somebody that disrespects authority, whether you like them or not, it always gets punished. Because God says, I am the ultimate authority. So if you have a problem with your authority, appeal to me, don't go to them. But we love, I ain't doing that. I ain't living like that. That's because you don't value, like God values, order. So now let me show you the order that's important before we get to the passage. Here's what it says. Go to your notes now. He says that God's created order. God says, this is how I want the world to operate. You have God, man, woman, animal. Creation, that's how he created it. God, man, woman, animal. To which there's a man in here that's saying, yes, that's right. You better believe. Woman, follow me. Yeah, I'm the man of this house. You better believe that. Yes, follow me. Woman, follow me. No, that means you only read part of the Bible. You don't read the whole thing. Because if you read the whole thing, you will know that God says, unless you're willing to give up your life daily, then you ain't leading her. You ain't nothing but a dictator, and Jesus didn't call you to be a dictator. He called you to love like he loved, which means I care so much about you. My agenda is irrelevant. I just want to create the best environment for you to flourish. If you ain't doing that, then he says you ain't doing what I've called you to do. La, 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 la. And then he says, if you do that, then she will willfully want to follow you. Will joyfully want to follow you, to which you say, Mister, Pastor, you don't know the wife I got. Then he says, from there, I want you to lead men. But This is God's order. What does Satan do whenever God tries to create something orderly? He destroys it. What does he do? Garden of Eden, Genesis chapter 3. He says, you're going to have an animal snake talk to a woman who then talks to the man who then, when God says, man, where are you? He says, I'm hiding, God. That's what I'm doing. Satan reverses God's order. This is what he specializes in. Wherever there is order, he wants to reverse it, which is why you don't just respond to your boss any old way. That's the order. God put them there. That's what the Bible says. Since he put them there, your job is to find out, how can I honor the whatever part of them that I respect? How can I honor them for the position they're in, even if I don't like their style? So the Bible says, if you have an issue with it, go to God, don't go to them. By the way, that's why you ought to be very careful with what you do with your political leaders. It's the same thing. God elected them and put them there. You have a problem with God then if you don't like him. Because God says, I am the sovereign one, not whoever is in that little power. They're here today, gone tomorrow. But when you do, here's how I can explain to you so easily and you get it. That's why if your kids come and disrespect you and say, I ain't listening to you, mom. I ain't listening to you, dad. Can you imagine your 7-year-old saying that? I don't care what you say. I'm going to do my own thing. I hate you. I can't stand you. You know what you would do? I'm going to tell you what. Sorry, I don't know about y'all because y'all different. Here's what I do. I say, you say that one more time. Just one more. You say that one more time. I can't say what else I'd say because you'll tell CPS. So let me stop. Let me stop. Let me stop right there. Let me stop. Anyway, Satan says, I'm the author of confusion and I want to mess up what God has created. The same thing happens in the church. What's the church? In the church, he says, I want God, then I want the elders, then I want the pastors, then I want small group leaders and deacons or servant leaders, then I want church time, then the individual. What the devil says is, I don't want to go through that order. I want to do my own thing. So he gets rid of authority so you can feel like all that matters is how I feel. And then he says stuff like, I'm in my feelings right now. And you think that's good enough to disrupt all of God's authority. So Satan says, I'm going to identify the weakest link, let them get in their feelings, use one of the spirits of this unity to enter into God's order, and I'm going to create havoc in the family, in the small groups, in the volunteer groups, so that the pastors will now have drama on their soul, so that the elders, so that nobody ever talks to God, because we just want to keep it up here and create this unity where God creates order. Listen, this happens in every single church this happens. And unless we teach and unless we show people how the enemy does it, we will end up like the churches in the past and in history where people do what's right in their own eyes. This is huge. I can't even get to Matthew 18 until you understand this. Because the millennial generation today says, we don't want no authority. We want to do me. I'm going to do me. You do you, I'll do me. Here's what they're saying. I don't want authority. Here's what the enemy has done. The previous generation, he said, I want you to get rid of the Bible so God has nothing to say. Now I want you to get rid of leaders so that nobody's over you. You can do whatever you want to do. It's brilliant. It's a great strategy because if you do it, you get to discount God's order and now everybody gets to do whatever they want to do. That's the danger that we're in as a culture, and we're pretending as if, oh yeah, and you're eating it hook, line, and sinker when you disrespect every authority there is, and your kids can't do to you what you do to the people in charge of you, which is your bosses, which is your small group leaders, which is all of them. You can do whatever you want to them, but your kids can't do it to you. You are selective in your obedience to God's word, and you don't even realize it. I don't need all of you up there. Y'all be like, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. I'm good because I am dead smack in the word of God, and that's what I'm standing on. And without knowing it, we are diluting God's word because the enemy has masterfully says, why do you believe the Bible? And then why do you need anybody over you? And by the way, we have given him ammunition because when leaders act a fool, then it looks like, well, why would I want to follow that? That's crazy. That's crazy. That's crazy. When church leaders act a fool, well, why would I want to follow that? I ain't following that. That's foolishness right there. When political leaders, and it gives us reason to say, I don't have to do that. Instead of saying, I need to go to the God who is over you and who appointed you and say, God, this is a mess, God. I need your hand. What do I need to do in the middle of a mess? And by the way, that's what all of the Old Testament saints had to deal with. That's what Daniel had to deal with. That's what Joseph had to deal with. That's what all of them had to deal with. A mess as a leader, but they still were faithful with what God put before them to do. That's your assignment, One Community Church, in the midst of it. Now, once this is set, I want you to watch the three spirits of this unity that he uses to create this unity in the church. This is so huge. And you are susceptible to one of them, and I want you to tell me which one. Three of them. Here we go. Number one, Korah. Korah is the directional leader that when there's an authority in his life, he directly confronts and goes against that authority, and it's him against the authority, and he says, I'm going to manipulate people to follow me and not follow you. Second one, Absalom. He's charming, and he says, I'm going to get somebody who likes me. I'm going to tell him, you don't have to go to the king, come to me, and I want you to tell me your story, and I'll give you the best advice. The king don't know what he's talking about. Then Jezebel, some of you say, you're not Jezebel, but you are. Jezebel uses confusion. Jezebel uses confusion and sensuality to drive people away and cause confusion in the church. Now, here's the good news. Every one of you, including me, have a tendency and a bias toward one of those. I want you to circle which one you have a tendency toward, so you know what the enemy going to use when you get in your feelings. Circle one. Actually, look at the person next to you and see which one they circle and make sure they circle one. And if they don't circle one, wave your hand real loud. You got 5 seconds. Circle one real quick. The first one, you're going directly against the leader. The second one, you do it on Facebook, Instagram, in the lunchroom, break room, on GroupMe, but you're not doing it directly. And then Jesse, you just want to create confusion and use sensuality to get at the person who is the leader of the pack. Everybody has one. You choose one. All right? You got 3 more seconds. Everybody choose. If you don't choose one, wave your hand, and I'll tell you which one they are so you can circle it for them. I'm so serious, because if you're that bracing, you Korah. So just find out which one you are and circle it. Good. Let's move on. Come on. Turn the page over. Now, here's why this is so important. Listen, everybody. Listen. Here's why this is so important. You don't realize this, but there are 4 things that happen when you have conflict in your house, in your church, on your job, and you don't address it. 4 things that happen that you don't even realize. Number one, you block your fellowship with God. Number two, you block your prayers. Number three, you dishonor God's name. Number four, you block your own happiness and joy. Listen, don't come in here and worship. If you got somebody that you just can't stand, you hate, I'll never talk to them ever in my whole life. I hate their guts. I hate every time I see them, they make my skin crawl. Listen, then stop praying. Stop it. Just be a pagan for the rest of your life. You don't get to do that, not in the body of Christ. Why, Pastor? Because God says, I care about unity. And whenever there is disunity, that's a sin and I can't tolerate it, so it has to be addressed. When there's two and you're single, that's fine. When you get married, I don't see you as two, I now see you as one, which is why you must make sure you're always in unity and unified, because if you're not, then I don't know who I'm talking to, because you're two, and that's when you got married, you became one, which means I'm not going to listen to your prayers, which is why he says in the Bible, communion, if you have aught with your brother, you leave your offering, go confess it, come back, then you can take communion. If not, here's what he says happened, you bring death on yourself. You bring death on yourself. He says 4 things. Relationship with God, blocked. Prayers, blocked. You're dishonoring God's name, and you're blocking your own joy, and you don't even know it. So he said, that's how serious God takes this thing called unity. It's his only prayer to the Father. Here's what he says. Father, may they be one as you and I are one. You don't take it seriously, but he does. Let's move on. Here we go now. We're almost there. So now the question is, how do I confront when something happens? I've been in my closet. I prepared myself before the ring. I go into the ring. I'm rejecting pride. I'm embracing humility. But the person I'm dealing with is unreasonable. What do I do in that ring? That's the question that we ask. There are 5 things Matthew 18 tells us to do. Here we go. He says, I got an issue with this girl. So I'm going in the ring. I'm prayed up. It's not about her, not about me. So now I'm going to talk to her about it. Everybody listen. So now I'm getting ready to have the conversation. Hey, yeah, you hurt my feelings, and I wanted to share that this is how I feel. Can you help me to understand your perspective? And she says, I don't care about you. As far as you're concerned, you're dead to me. I don't even see you right now because you're dead. You're not even there. Really, girl? That's how you want to treat me, really, right now? Okay, no problem. The Bible tells me what to do next. She won't listen. She won't receive what I have to say. So then I have to bring two people with me. I'm preaching Bible now. All right, is Kathy down there? Kathy, come up here. Where's Kathy at? Is Kathy there? If Kathy is not there, I need two volunteers, two ladies. Come on up here. Yeah, you right here. You're better. I wasn't ready for this. Come on up. Come on up. Come on up. Come on. Come on. All the way around. Praise the Lord. It's all right. It's all right. No, he didn't. The pastor called me up there. No, he didn't. Praise the Lord, somebody. Actually, he says two, so you come too. Come on. Yeah, right here. Uh-huh. You're laughing at her. No. Come on. Come on, all the way in here. Praise the Lord, somebody. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So what's the Bible say? When I got an issue, they won't receive it, then I got to call two people. What are they coming for? They're not coming for us to gang up on her. They're coming, first of all, to find out the facts. So they're going to talk to her and ask her, hey, tell me what your opinion is of this situation. That's why they're here. Once they hear the full story, now they are going to render judgment, which is why you don't bring people who don't know the Bible. If they don't know the Bible, they have no business being in the conversation with you, because the only thing they should be talking about is Bible, not their feelings, not their mercy gift. No, none of that. They shouldn't be talking about the Bible. Here's what the Bible says you ought to do in these situations. Let's say they find out the truth and say, yes, well, I think that you need to own up to your issue, take the log out of your eye, and say, I didn't do nothing wrong. I don't care what y'all say. I didn't do nothing wrong. Then she is acting like a non-believer, because three people now have said, here's your issue, here's his issue, let's deal with it. She's still denying her issue. Now we got to get the defibrillator, because her heart ain't right. Praise the Lord, somebody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So now, spiritually, we listen. We got to shock her into obedience. No. This is serious. Why do we have to do that? Because she's acting like there's no Holy Ghost inside of her. So we got to awaken the Holy Ghost inside of her. So now, you got to take this. Don't turn it on, because I will be shocked. Hold this. Thank you, Lord. No, leave that. Don't touch nothing, by the way. Right. So then, all of a sudden, you see me flying over here. Anyways, so now we have to confront her in love to see if that will jolt her into obedience. That's what the Bible says. But suppose we say, okay, clear, boom. And she'll be like, I don't care what y'all say. I'm still doing what I do. All right, put that down right here. Then we got to call some of the elders. So come on up here. Come on up here. Come on up here, Anthony. Anthony's coming up here. We got to call some of the elders over, because you got to bring into the church. We have a reset ministry. This is all they do. And so now we need more people. She don't listen to me. She don't listen to the sisters. Now you got to call the church. Now all of us are saying, we love you so much. We want the best for you. We want you to realize that there is an issue that you have that you got to own so that we can address. Why? So that the unity of the body can maintain its strength. If not, you have chaos. You're going to see it in a minute. Now, let's say, Anthony, you hold it now. Anthony, hold the spiritual defibrillator. And we say, all right, okay, girl, clear, boom. And she'll be like, get the heck out of my house. I can't stand none of y'all. I hate all of y'all. Now, listen, here's what's happening. Willful, deliberate, unrepentant, I'm going to do me. I don't care what none of you say. This doesn't happen overnight. This happened after a long, slow process where we're trying to win her over, where we're praying for her, where we're trying to fight for her and say, come on, you can do better for this. We're trying to find who's influencing her to make that, to get her to walk in obedience. None of that works. Then the Bible tells you what you ought to do. So hold on. Let's give these people a round of applause first. Come on. Let's hear them. Thank you very much. Don't get mad at me for calling you up here, please. If you have a conflict, let's talk about it now. We all right? Everybody all right? Nobody mad at me? Y'all all right? Because if so, we're going to have a conflict right now. We good? In the name of Jesus, we good? All right, good, good, good. No more conflict. Okay, so no, here's what the Bible says. This is beautiful. The Bible says, now, since she is spiritually dead, then she's acting like a non-believer, which means the Holy Ghost has no influence over her in this area, which means we ought to treat her like an unbeliever. What does that mean? That means you need to remove her from the body. That doesn't mean you don't talk to her. That just means that when you talk to her, you're talking about the issue, and you're not becoming best friends talking about everything else like there's nothing wrong. This is you. Okay, you're not feeling me. Let me help you out. You're not feeling me. It's okay. Let me help you out. About 4 months ago, I had some pineapple juice. And I didn't know, but the pineapple juice was open overnight at this restaurant I went to. And they gave it to me. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Oh, and I tasted a little bit of it. And I said, this tastes funny, but let's go. And so I had the whole thing. For the next 24 hours. It didn't stop. All night. This is all I did. I was walking around, talking to somebody. Hold on. I tried to go to bed in the middle of the night. Go. And it happened every single 15 minutes on the minute for like 24 hours. Here's what was happening. There was something inside of me that didn't fit right with my stomach, and it would reject it because it had no business being there. And it knows if it ever let it stay down there, it might infect the rest of the body. So the stomach says, I will have nothing to do with you because you're not a part of us. Blah! You know what the church should do? When somebody being willful, intentional sinning, you should say to them, blah! Get the heck out of here. Blah! Get the heck out. Not because you don't love them, but for the exact opposite reason. You love them so much, you don't want them to get used to a lifestyle of sin and no repentance. This is huge. If you allow it to happen, then it will become normal in churches. Can I get real for a moment? That's why you have people in churches today living raggedy and don't care. You know, it's one thing when you're trying to hide your foolishness. But when you're not hiding it, and you be like, hey, I mean, me, you gotta accept me the way I am. That means the church has lost its influence. The light of the church is now gone. The power in the church. No wonder the world says, y'all are just as bad as we are. No wonder the world says, no wonder your kids say, I don't want to have nothing to do with your church. Because they've seen you cuss somebody off to one of your girlfriends or one of your bros, and then walk around and talk to the same person. Hey, how you doing today? And your kids have seen you do that. And they say, what kind of person is this? This is a demon in my own house. As a parent, and they say, why would I want to have anything to do with that? This is a game. This is a game that church people play. That's why I don't care how good somebody is. You can't, I'm gonna get in trouble. That's why it don't matter how good you are, but you can't say you want to live a gay lifestyle, don't care one rip about it, and still expect to accept you and not raise the banner of Jesus. Hold on. That's why you don't live a codependent lifestyle where you living with each other and think that that's fine and say, I'm gonna live that way. I don't care what y'all say. That's why you don't see somebody beating up their spouse and you say nothing about it. That's why you don't come in church like that's normal. Yeah. It's not. You're supposed to go, ah! You're supposed to go, ah! The body is not supposed to accept that. Yeah. That's why it has to be addressed. And you can say, I'm not mad. I'm just telling you, that's what the Bible says. Can somebody hold up the standard? Not, listen, not of perfection. We all are trifling in moments. But when somebody bring up your triflingness, how dare you say, I don't care what you say. I'm gonna do me. I'm gonna do what I do. You don't get to do that. Not in the body of Christ. Not with Bible believing believers that know the word of God. Can I get a witness with OCC? Turn the page over. Come on, let's go. Turn the page over. How do you do peacemaking and how do you do peace faking? This is huge. Number one. Pete, go back to the other slide. I don't think you probably didn't get it all. Go back to the other. Y'all got this already? The first circle, in that circle, keep the circle small. Get help from friends. Get help from the church. Treat them like an unbeliever. And keep the local church spiritual. Everybody got that? If you ever miss these, by the way, just go on the app. It's all there, okay? Keep the church small. Get help from your friends. Get help from church. Treat them like an unbeliever. And then keep the local church spiritual. Okay, next one. Watch this now. Here's what peacemaking looks like. I told you this already. Humility, harmony, happiness. Here's what peace faking look like. You have the pride. It's always rooted in pride. Then you have defeat, difficulty, and division. Then, listen, here we go. You have resentment and bitterness. Let's talk about those two for a moment. If you have resentment and bitterness about anyone, at the root of your life is pride. Say that again. If I can call a name, or you can think of a name, which the Holy Spirit's bringing to your mind right now, and you say, I can't stand them, I've written them off. I don't care if it's a fifth grade dude that stole your girl. If you got resentment in your heart, you got to deal with that. I don't care what it is. I don't care how minor you might think it is. But if when you hear the name, you go, there's something there that you need. Here's what my Bible says. As far as it depends on you, live at peace with all men. Say that with me. As far as it depends on you, live at peace with all men. Somebody's not hearing that. One more time. As far as it depends on you, live at peace with all men. That's it. That's what the Bible says. So here's my question then. How are you doing? You can't have bitterness and resentment toward anybody, toward your in-laws, toward your ex, toward it. You can't have it. That's not so with you. You don't get the privilege of hating somebody and still calling yourself a Christian. Let me explain why. If you do that, it means you don't understand God and your theology is all off. Because God says, I have forgiven you for a trillion. That's what I've forgiven you for. And whatever they did to you, it's like $1,000. So I must forgive you for all that, and you don't want to forgive them for all that. Something's wrong with you. Something's wrong. It means you don't understand what God did for you, which means you're minimizing how bad you are, and you are highlighting how bad they are. You ought to look at it through God's eyes. God knows how bad you are, and he forgave you, which is why you cannot have bitterness. Not so with you. In your own life, as you do this, you can't have resentment and bitterness. It's not for the Christian. You know you have been given. Whoever has been forgiven much will forgive much as well. That's what he says. Let's keep going. So now, how do you go the distance? Then I'll take some questions. How do you go the distance? There are two things I want you to do to know how to go the distance. One, you ought to learn the lost art of paying attention. Learn the lost art of paying attention. Do you get bored when you talk to your friends and they talk about things they're interested in? That means you have lost attention. That means you only care about what you have to say, not about what they have to say. Listen, whenever you're in a conversation and there's a conflict and they're sharing their story and all you can do is come up with the reasons why what they're saying right now is wrong, it means you're prideful. It means you're not listening to them. Listen, and you don't just listen to their words. You listen to the pain behind their words. You're not just listening to words. You're listening to the pain behind what they're saying. Most of us are just waiting to get to, well, here's my argument and here's why you're wrong. Which means you didn't listen, which means you're prideful, which means you won't have harmony because you put yourself above theirs. That's what he says. Most of us love Jesus, but we don't want to live like him. Most of us love Jesus, but we don't want to live like him. Philippians chapter 2, it continues. It says, what's the second thing you do to go the distance? First thing is learn the art of paying attention. Number two, what would Jesus do? This is rich, man. He says, number one, I don't demand what I think I deserve. You need to ask yourself, am I understanding or am I demanding? Anytime I see somebody that I'm interviewing and they're a demanding person, I'll never hire them because they'll always put themselves before everybody else. They'll always put their ministry before everybody else. They'll always think me first and then all the other ministers later. Whenever you meet somebody that's demanding, me, 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 they don't know how to run to the back of the line, that means they're not like Christ. People that are like Christ runs to the back of the line and put you first. That's what humility is. Let me run to the back of the line so you can get to go first. If that's not who you are, then you got to start training yourself in godliness to get there. Run to the back of the line. Run to the back of the line. Run to the back of the line. Let me show you how poorly I do at this. This one and number two go together. Number two says, this is what Jesus did, verse number 7 of Philippians chapter 2. I look for ways to serve. Usually on Saturday night, I go to dinner with somebody it's just randomly, and I go to dinner with somebody. But usually the place I go to, I don't have to wait on the line. I just go in and we go. This day, though, I had to go to Seasons 52. And when I went to Seasons 52, I had an appointment for 8 o'clock, but it was 8:15 when I showed up. So I showed up at about 8:15, 8:16, and the person said, excuse me, sir, 15 minutes have passed. We gave up your reservation, so now you got to wait like 30 to 45 minutes. To which I said, no. No, we ain't gonna wait that long. To which the couple, there are two couples I'd meeting with, they were right there, and they could see me agitated. I was like, what? How long do I have to wait? What? Why do I have to wait that long? You mean, come on, I mean, we said, come on. She said, yes, sir, but it's 15 minutes apart. And, no, listen to how demanding. I'm like, come on, are you serious? I got to wait 15 minutes? Really? So then, right then, another waitress came around, and she goes to a church. So she says, hey, Pastor Conway. And you know what I said? Won't he do it? Favor ain't fear. Favor ain't fair. As God is our witness, that in my mind, that's what I said. Because I didn't want to wait no more. Because I was like, come on, man, come on, let me go. To which she said, the girl said, she went to the back, she went to where they check you in. And she says, okay, I see where you are. Okay. She says, Pastor Conway, that will be 30 minutes. Won't he do it? No, he won't. In my mind, you need to go to another church. I didn't say that. Anyway, come on. Anyways, that's what I said. So I'm like, now I'm really ticked off. I'm like, why do I have to wait 30 minutes? No, listen. Let me put this in some context. This is a dude that grew up. All he had to eat for dinner most of the time were chicken wings. You didn't even get a whole chicken wing. You got to either the leg piece or the little piece. That's all I got. I'm waiting at a nice restaurant. I get to wait to go buy whatever we want to eat. And I'm complaining that I got to wait 30 minutes? Number two, I got some people in here I can talk to and have a great conversation. But this impatient, demanding little twit is now getting mad because he's late. I'm late. And I'm getting mad and demanding. What happened? Let me tell you what happened. God bless you a little bit. And now you got $50 to go buy a full meal. And now with that comes an attitude like you don't know where you're coming from. No. Do you see how we get there? That's how we get there. All of a sudden, no, I can't wait 30 minutes. What's wrong with you, fool? I'm talking to me. What's wrong with you? You can't wait 30 minutes? Watch this. I could enjoy a great conversation with these people. And they are seeing their pastor now agitated. Because of a 30-minute wait, what the heck is wrong with us when we get so arrogant that we can't wait 30 minutes to have a great conversation that might turn into something spiritual, all because I didn't allow the distraction of 30 minutes, but I see that God's given me an opportunity to talk to some people who are standing and have a great conversation. What the heck happened? I'll tell you what happened. Pride made me mad at them that they would not let me be seated. I almost wanted to say, do you not know who I am? To which the Holy Spirit reminded me who I was. Yeah. You ain't nobody. Yeah.
You're a servant of the living God who had the opportunity to go to a nice restaurant. Sit your tail down, wait till it's your turn, and realize that I'm up to something in the midst of this whole thing. Can I get a witness, somebody? What's wrong with us? No, really. What's wrong? We want to ruin relationships all because our feelings get hurt. When did you become that important? When did you become that? When since you've been sticking out your chest like you are that? My Bible says you ought to be the servant of all. That's who Jesus was. He wanted to be. So when stuff like that happened, he said, okay, well, God, the Father, what you up to? You up to something here. Since you didn't want me to go sit down now, that means there is a supernatural thing you're doing that I need to connect with. Why you're making me frustrated here, which means you want me to learn, by the way, fruit of the Spirit. You want me to learn a little bit of patience and a little bit of long-suffering. And by the way, that ain't long-suffering. That's inconvenience for your luxury little tail. Call it what it is. You don't like to call it what it is, but it is that. It's you get to go to, I don't even know if it's a 4 or 5 star, but it's a nice restaurant. You don't even have restaurants like that in your community. But I let you now be able to go to one. And you arrogant with it? Do you want me to put you back where you just came from? Can I get a witness, somebody? Humble yourself. You got a job. Quit fussing about your boss every single day. Be grateful that you got a job. Be grateful that the boss wants to ask you to do something. I don't know why they're putting all this work on me. Be grateful he come to you or she come to you and ask you to do something. In the name of Jesus. Preach, Pastor. Anyways, let's go. Last one, then we're done. Last one. Read number one with me. Number one says what? I don't demand what I deserve. Number two is I look for ways to. And that's verse number 7 of Philippians chapter 2. Verse number 8 says, I do what's right even when it's painful. Do you know what Jesus did? This is, oh my gosh. Do you know what Jesus did? When he hung on that cross, he was doing what was right. He wanted you to have a connection with the Father. And he hung on a cross. You ain't hung on nobody's cross. He got some nails drove in his hand. You ain't got no nails driven in your hands. He got a spear in his side. You ain't got no spear in your side. So when you're in the ring, the reason you stay in the distance is because you care about the unity of the body. You care about the unity of your spouse and yourself. You care about harmony, and you will stay there even if it's painful to you to make sure that God's unity is preserved. Ladies and gentlemen, you want the church to shine bright, then you got to realize there is some pain associated with it. Listen, and the pain that you're talking about, oh, this is too painful. Oh, my gosh. I mean, it's too much. The church is too messy. Oh, my gosh. I don't have all this time to take to meet one person, meet the next person, meet three people. I don't have all that time. Stop. Do you listen to yourself sometimes? God did all of that for you. So you can be a part of his body. And now you want to bail because it's inconvenient to you. Come on, church. We know better than that. I'm done. Father, thank you for saving us so that we can even have the audacity to have these conversations. God, so many people don't care because they're not saved. If it's not good for them, they'll walk away. If it's not in their best interest, they'll walk away. But the church doesn't get to do that. We don't get to do that. We get to fight for the unity of the body. We get to expose the enemy's devices so that he doesn't break up what God wants to unite. Will you remind us that we're servants? Will you remind us to be understanding, not demanding? Will you remind us that if it's going to be right, it's going to be painful oftentimes. And will you remind us to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith? Father, I pray for anybody that has conflict that's going on right now. Will you help them to humble themselves and remove pride and fight for the unity? I pray for anybody who has resentment in their heart about their parents, their dad, their mom, their in-laws, their siblings, their brothers, whoever it is, God, will you help each one of us to fight
I pray for every community group. Will you help us to fight? I pray for every ministry group. Will you help us to fight for the unity? I pray for every marriage. Will you help us to fight for the unity of the body? Because where there is humility, there will be harmony. And where there is harmony, there will be joy and there will be happiness. Will you lead us to be the light that you've called us to be? We pray in Jesus' name. Everybody said? Amen. All right, don't move yet. I'm going to take one question. Anthony, you got one for me?
Yeah, we have one.
I'm going to take just one question, then we got to go. It's too late. Go. One question. Go ahead, Anthony. What's it?
How do you respond to your spouse when you ask them a question and they become defensive or respond, I'm grown, I can do what I want to do?
Great question. Listen. This is huge. How do you respond to your spouse? By the way, if you don't have to move, can you stay seated just for a moment until we're done, please? How do you respond to your spouse when they say, I'm grown, right, Anthony? They say, I'm grown, I don't have to listen to you, something like that? They say, I'm grown, and they don't have to listen to you, right? Oh, they become defensive. Listen, there are three things you need to know. Singles, you listen to me first. If you're marrying somebody and they don't have somebody that can speak directly into their lives and they listen to them, you shouldn't marry them. The reason for that is because that situation, the reason they can get away with that is because there's nobody that can bust their chops and say, humble yourself, love your spouse the way God's called them to love them. So whenever there is tension in the home, if you don't have somebody over them that has influence over them, then you got to go to your closet and pray and beg God to transform them and transform you so you can handle it. But if you had somebody that can speak into their lives, then it's, which is why we do community groups. You want community groups so people, other people can hold them accountable and speak into their lives. When you don't do it and you wait till the crisis to then go find a community group, now you need a counseling group. That's not what the group was designed for. This is huge. So that's why either you try and see if they can go to counseling. If that don't work, then you try and see if you have somebody over them that can influence them. If that don't work, then you got to take up your cross daily and follow Jesus, because it's going to be painful. Singles, you don't have to do that. But that means you don't just look at how cute they are, how much money they got in the bank. You look at, do they have a covering that can speak authoritatively into that life? And if they don't and you marry them, that's your fault. And you're going to have to carry your own cross. I'm done. That's the only one. You gave me an interesting one that I've done. Finish on that one. In a moment, they're going to put some screens up and you're going to see who leaves first. The reason we do that is to have a steady stream as we go out. Some men are going to be up here and women for you to pray with them. If you have an issue that you want to talk about, you'd come on up here. We would consider it an honor to pray with you. Thank you so much for being here. Your section will be illuminated. When it is, then you're free to go. Until then, you talk to each other. Thanks for being here, you guys. God bless.